Art and Bullshit Podcast. Art and Bullshit Podcast.
You're rocking with the best.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
And we're back. Another episode of the Art and BS Podcast, the podcast by artists, for artists, and art lovers. I'm your host from the West Coast, James Drills, broadcasting from the slums of the Cultural Arts District. Or wait, no, actually it's the Mural District, my bad. In Fresno, California. Let's get some housekeeping out the way. It's actually episode 147 of housekeeping announcements. Shasta Cats over on Apple holding us down. Hit us with that review, that rating, you know what I'm saying? That subscription, all that good stuff. Family over on Spotify, we see you. We'll catch you at the end of the year in the wrapped up. You know what I'm saying? All the Patreon family holding it down, man. Listen, yeah, we still got some video on the way for you guys over on the Patreon. I'm working on trying to get iMovie working correct. I kind of got busy last week, so yeah, announcements. If you guys are interested in having your company promoted on the podcast, hit us up. You can send us an email or slide through the DM on Instagram, you know, and get a little commercial, you know what I'm saying? We did free advertising for like 3 years. Nobody ever cut a check. And yeah, now we ain't doing that for free no more. So if you want your, you know, your product or your business or whatever advertised on here, you know, send us some copy and we'll get to it. Announcements. Man, we got some good stuff coming up at the end of the month on April 26th. I will be in the Downtown Artist Gallery, showing some art, selling some art. Might be some stuff for auction. It might be a raffle. It might be some new works at full price. You never know. Special shout outs to Tim and Piet over at the Downtown Artist Gallery for looking out, man, and providing opportunities for hardworking painters in Fresno, California, not subscribing to all of the you know, politics and all that, and just, you know, operating on, you know, the quality of somebody's work and not what institution they've come out of or who their friends are or, you know, all of that cornball stuff. But yeah, we about to get to it. First time listeners, we appreciate you guys coming out. Yeah, just, you're probably confused. You're like, what's going on? Somebody forwarded this thing to me. I don't know what's happening. It might have popped up on James's social media feed. And yeah, this is what he does. This is kind of lame. Returning family members.
You saw me just get out of the whip. I mean, we here.
Ill nigga alert. Time to get to some music.
Art and podcast
family, what's up? All my painters, where you at? You got that oil paint, you got that acrylic, you got that tempura, all my watercolorists I see, all my sculptors and scholars, where you at? Photographers, hold it down, check that aperture on these amateurs, man, listen.
In my living room, just chilling, counting paper. Check costs a lot, didn't start a conversation.
9 to 5ers, keep those AirPods in so your boss isn't tripping. All my entrepreneurs, keep that schedule filled. You know what it is.
Trap, red bottom, hit the pavement. Macy Cafe, when I dropped the location. She put it on the table, then we started road exchange. A caramel latte, as I browse through the pay piece. I've been doing this since the plastic on the couch and shit. Eating top notch, man, I can't even pronounce the shit.
Shout out to all the ladies breaking hearts, breaking pockets, securing bags, popping tags. I see.
Whole time I was on some modest shit. Joe, why you so nonchalant and shit? Spent 300, don't acknowledge.
Started off with that Larry June and Rock Marciano, man. Now we really having shit.
Had to turn the oven up, 24 cooking up.
We not new to this, we true to this.
Pulling up. Park my shit right in the front, I'm just grabbing something, what's happening?
Let's get to it, you know what I'm saying? I feel like we need to go back. This is
bad, man.
I'm on some old school, you know what I'm saying?
Render unto Gidro what is Gidro's. 10 to 1, he sees you through a beaker and a tweezers. Read the fine print and be like, what's the big deal? Spring wheels are still since broke wheel, big wheel. Back when it was greasy as curl, now it's easy dread. How to rhyme and how to use some teasing by his peasy head. Yes, yes, y'all, to the beat. Have a ball, have a call. Have a doorway, grab a straw, jab a jaw. Since two-tone leasies, new phonies is bony holes. Lonely like cheese and bologna only. I could have broke my sacrophiliac. Silly grind, Billy Jack.
I hear Jam, a new week.
On
vacation, we got a lot to get to. Pull your socks up. Check the composition in your maca.
Find sponsor of this Thunderbird occasion. And have an iller rhyme, at least by Miller time. Collect a Skrilla and geese with a killer dime. Met her out in Killer Queens. Originally, she from the Philippines. I love the way she fill her jeans. Still a teen. I made her strange bedfellows. Okay, so it's head to elbows for shell toes. Uh-oh, heads up. Yeah, she blows a whole load of head and shoulders. And who care where she goes? Let the music take control. Just don't let the evil doers abuse it and use it to take your soul.
Right? Like I feel like we about to take y'all home on this one, yo. You know what I'm saying? Let's take y'all home.
Shut up a cake hole who break drinks till it get old. Cornwall, haven't seen white stars. I warned y'all, like getting hit with a bottle of mold from Sean Paul.
He not white.
Oh, he mad light though. Either which way, they not ready
for the lightning show. Okay, we like, we gotta get to it, man. Yeah, you know, let's get to it.
When I shine, Gidro the professor add a question to the lessons. He suggests you get a full assessment instead of guessing. It's too stressing. Did he stutter like rookie yes men, or did he just?
Let's keep going. Let's keep going.
This just in vain. Even worse, the worry lying on their first birth and couldn't even hurt a Smurfberry.
Let's go.
Art and bullshit
mm-hmm, let's go. Turn up, turn up, turn up. We like that over here.
These niggas talking out of their neck. Don't put no coughing out of your mouth. I'm way too paranoid for threats. Hey, hey, let's get it, bro. B.O.T., the money, power, respect. The last one is better. Say yes, a lot of goofies with a check.
I mean, what's crazy is when fools try to diss you and then they turn around and apologize 2 days later. You know what I'm saying? We out here. We gonna talk about that and relate it to a few things. Mm-hmm. We really like that over here.
Big three, nigga, it's just big me, nigga, boom. What? I'm really like that, and your best work is a light pack, nigga, Prince outlive my Jack, nigga, boom.
For all your dogs get buried,
that's a K with all these nines, he gon' see Pet Cemetery, nigga,
boom. We over here jamming 8 minute intros, what we doing, is that what we doing? Let's go. Extended. I just had to get this because we like that over here. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, we really like that. You know what I'm saying? Don't be looking at me crazy. You gotta just take y'all home. Hey, 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 hey. You know what I'm saying? Take y'all home. Take y'all home. That's too much. Too much.
We just gonna use that as is. Yo, my grandma bumped this shit, bro. That ass.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
We really like that. You know what I'm saying? For real. Built for whatever. Yeah, we got a lot to cover. You know what's interesting is for you artists and art lovers, I have talking points and we're going to get to a lot of stuff. But on the subject of being like that, I just think about like, in the art game being like that. And a lot of times it can really be overstimulating. It's a really big ocean in this art game, and you're going to come across, you know, a myriad of different personalities. You know, some people will help you and they'll ask like, hey, what are you really trying to do? Where are you trying to take this thing? Where are your aspirations at? And then some people are going to come in and They're going to tell you, hey, you need to do this. Hey, you need to do that. Hey, you need to whatever, whatever, whatever. And I don't know if, like, a lot of times those you need to XYZ things are, they're not going to make or break you. Some things like, you know, advertising and things like that are, you know, they're self-evident because as artists, we're also business people. So we're creatives and then we also have to handle the admin. But also, I think in art, a lot of times people get caught up in the wrong stuff and they'll place their insecurities onto the next generation of artists. And, you know, a lot of times people will quit and then they'll look at you because you didn't quit. And then it's like, well, just because you lost faith in yourself, that don't mean that I lost faith in myself. And for the artists who are, you know, consistently trying to kick down the doors, consistently trying to figure this stuff out, consistently putting paint on the canvas, I would just like to tell you guys, don't give up on yourself because things are going to get hard and there's times where it'll seem bleak, but, you know, opportunity and preparation breed success. So you might catch an L, something might not work out. And we'll get to that in a second because it's kind of, you know, I'm seeing some of this stuff in my own life personally with my artistic pursuits, attempting to apply for residencies, not getting them, working hard, and then people who are around me who have the ability to facilitate, you know, certain things, opening up doors based on James being a stand-up dude, based on James, you know, not being a shady individual, based on James, you know, just trekking forward. So I do think that, yeah, that's, I want to say to you guys who are artists, just keep your head in the game, fight for what you believe in, do right by others, and yeah, just be there for your homies, you know, when you can and how you can. Don't overextend yourself, but also, like, try to see what people are trying to do and where they want to go instead of, like, you know, barking, you know, suggestions that are not really warranted or not really helpful, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, I think that's really important. So now that we've got that out the way, let's get to some other stuff. And I really should have started with this. I would like to kind of move to a somber note. In the past, like, 6 to 8 weeks, we've lost a few really big giants in the art game. Locally, Fresno has lost. Richard Silva passed away, so our deepest condolences to the family. Chris Sorensen passed away. Our deepest condolences to the family. Richard Silva was I would consider him to be an abstract expressionist who operated in an avant-garde sort of artistic pursuit. We had the pleasure of showing together. I had the pleasure and the honor of showing with Richard Silva at the Exquisite Corpse art show that was hosted by the Downtown Artist Gallery back in January. However, we didn't really get a chance to speak that much at the artist opening, which, you know, that's, we'll kind of get to that in a second. And Chris Sorensen, I've met him a few times, fantastic when it came to, like, the welding. And I mean, like, this guy was a beast. Founded Sorensen Studio in Fresno, California, which hosts, you know, a bunch of artists, you know, there's a whole parliament of artists over there. There's a whole congregation of artists. And, yeah, you know, you guys will be sorely missed. We also lost, Akira Toriyama, AKA Toriyama Sensei, creator of Dragon Ball Z. One of the most influential manga and anime titles of all time. The first serialized manga that I really got into in anime form. And, you know, before that, it was more so movies such as, like, Ninja Scroll and Vampire Hunter D, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, we lost a great. And also Louis Gossett Jr., we lost him as well. Fantastic actor, activist, and just credit to society and, you know, a gem of the black culture. So, boom, new music. Let's talk about it. So we're going to skip over the Beyonce album because y'all love Beyonce. And it's a country album that's not country. I tried to listen to it. Not really for me. That doesn't mean that it's not good. Things that are good cannot be for me. And that's okay. But we're going to get to what James is into. Let's get to some arcane shit. You know what I'm saying? Rock Marciano. Drop Marsology. Crazy, y'all. Kind of puts me in like, you know, some foreign Italian horror film type vibes. He had Larry June on there. Jay Worthy's on there. I think Knowledge the Pirates on a track, which they really need to do a joint EP, Rock Marciano and Knowledge the Pirate. I need that. But yeah, that was pretty good. London Drugs dropped a new one. So if you're into that, you know, that kind of funk trap, you know what I'm saying? P style, you know, hip hop, Jay Worthy's all over it. And there's a bunch of features. So that's pretty good. Ransom and Harry Fraud dropped a really nice one. Harry Fraud just crazy on the boards, and Ransom, you know, he's spitting game, like lyrically, you know, cause I like that rapity rap type stuff. I like that bar. I like bars, and I like, you know, I mean, you might get some trap stuff, you know, in the mix too, but we're just talking about bars today. High quality lyrics. Yeah, man, all types of stuff has been happening. The New York Times had an article about a Montreal teacher secretly selling his students' artwork on mugs and t-shirts. So, oh man, that's wild. Yeah, so that's kind of crazy. Also, you know, recently I had watched this movie called Hitler versus Picasso and the Others. And it was about, you know, Hitler and all of the artwork he stole from gallerists and, you know, art collectors, specifically German Jewish gallerists and art collectors. And also, you know, how he divided the public in terms of, you know, creating art shows that were representational and figurative based, and pitting them against, you know, things that were more abstractly based. It was a really good documentary. If you guys are into stuff like that, like art films. But what's interesting is like a lot of the families, or I can't say a lot of the families, there were some families who, due to provenance, were able to track the artwork that was owned by their, you know, their ancestors, and, you know, was asking for the stuff back. Ayo, Museum of XYZ European country, can we get that artwork back? And these museums are not giving all of the artwork back. They're giving like 20 to 25% of the artwork back to these families. Even though when you turn the painting around, there's all of these gallery labels and the provenance. So as artists, I think that it's really important to track our artwork. If you have an art show, make sure you keep the gallery labels on the back. And then that way you can say, hey, this painting has been, you know, it's been in such and such gallery. It's been such and such museum. It's been such and such place. But fast forward, California legislators have introduced a new bill trying to get the Holocaust survivors and gallerists and, you know, all of that artwork that was pilfered, you know, by the Nazis back to the rightful owners. So we will see kind of how this works out, because, yeah, that's really important. Let's get these possessions that were owned by these families back to the rightful owners. I don't think that just because you found a stash of artwork that Hitler stole from somebody, that doesn't mean that it's, you know, the property of your country because y'all found it. It's like, give it back to the people. So, moving forward, let's see. Oh, there are a couple dudes out in London that got busted and sentenced for selling more than $2 million worth of artwork that was all fake, y'all. And it was attributed to like Salvador Dali and Pablo Picasso. So they were cold calling people and being like, hey, man, you got a little stack under you. Let me go ahead and show you a way you can flip that and invest it outside of, you know, conventional means. And the craziest part is they were selling these works for like $2,000, $3,500. And I'm just tripping off the fact that people were buying these, you know, these fake artworks for such a low ball price. But I mean, hey, they came up on like $3.2 million total. So yeah, man, kind of crazy. So yeah, there's that. That's, you know, some little art news. And let's talk about this residency. Let's talk about, yeah, because I had applied for a residency in Japan. Shout outs to the Patreon subscribers. I put the video up over there so you guys could see the application video that I submitted. Shout outs to everyone who purchased the Year of the Dragon t-shirt so, you know, I could pay for some of these fees and stay afloat during this process. Because what a lot of people don't understand is, like, as an artist, when you're taking chances and you're gambling on your career, that stuff's not free. There's like a lot of administrative fees that pop up. And there's also what I'm realizing as I talk to more artists is some artists are coming into this game. Some artists, you know, are kind of seasoned, and people were like, someone even said, James, what's a residency? And I had to explain it. So I'll just quickly kind of go into the two types of residencies they've kind of come across my desk. And number one would be a type of residency that's like, let's just use me for example. Let's say James Drills has like a compound over in like France or whatever, and I'm opening it up to artists. Some of these residencies will say, hey, you apply and then we're gonna charge you a certain amount. It might be like $900, it might be $3,500, but it covers, you know, your room, your board, your art materials, etc. So those are kind of the pay-to-play residencies. And then there's also the ones that are like all expenses paid, which are extremely rare, extremely competitive, but they also have application fees, right? So this last residency I applied for, the application fee was $95. It was 4 weeks, all expenses paid, to Japan, you know? And you guys, what I didn't realize is I thought that it was one of those things where, you know, the board would take time to look through my artwork and they would, you know, watch the video that I had submitted. But according to my YouTube stats, they didn't even watch the video. So when I got the rejection letter, after I emailed them, then they sent me the rejection letter. It was crazy because it was like they announced the winners and then hit reopen submissions for next year. And they were like, hey, if you submitted, you know, you can reapply for free. And in my brain, so I emailed them and asked for the link. And then at that point, they sent me my rejection letter. So Albert Einstein has a great quote. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing multiple times and expecting a different result. So, you know, in my brain, I'm like, well, if I resubmit the same application, I can't expect a different result. Because if, let's say, on a good day, just on a light day, let's say 150 people applied for this residency, and that's not counting last year's people who were reapplying. Let's say 150 people applied, right? And they picked two winners. And James is, like, let's say I'm number 45 on the list of, like, hot niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, so then that means that there's, like, 40 hot niggas, like, who were just smoking shit ahead of me. So I just don't see how I would win if there's, like, you know, however many people. So I'm going to redo my application and submit it. But honestly, I don't think I'm going to win. I'm just doing it because it's free. But a new opportunity popped up. And we're going to talk about that in a second. moving forward, I think that if I was to give anybody advice, because residencies, it's like you're attempting to play the lottery. And the only difference is instead of everyone picking random numbers, you have a bunch of skilled people who take this art shit seriously, and they're going to, you know, they're trying to shoot for the moon. So it's, man, it's fierce out there. It's, you know, you're applying for the Harlem Globetrotters. And I think that moving forward, if I do apply for more, I'll have to figure out a way to raise some funds and apply for like 6 to 8 per season. But I honestly don't know, you guys. It seems like, you know, the game is so rigged. When I look at the people that are winning these residencies, you know, it's never anyone that paints landscapes. It's never anyone that paints still life. It's never anyone that remotely does anything close to what I'm doing. It's usually like abstract expressionists or people who are operating in this like really in a contemporary modernist tradition of painting, you know. And it's wild because the stuff that we care about, like personally, I always thought like if I become like this really great proficient painter, doors would open up. And I've spent, let's see, the last 10 years kind of trying to figure this art stuff out and get better. And certain doors have opened up, but the doors that I thought would open haven't really opened because that's not really what they're looking for. And a lot of the time, you know, people will say like, oh, you know, like this is important, that's important. And I have to just figure out, like, you know, at this point, what am I trying to say with my art and really focus? I have a solo show coming up and it's time to, you know, put these ideas onto canvas, transmute my experiences into artwork, and see how it resonates with the public. Because at the end of the day, it's an art form and it's like music. So different art forms are going to resonate with different people. Some people don't like hip hop. You know, some people like country music, or they like EDM, or they like R&B, or they like rock and roll. And that's perfectly fine. But there are a lot of people who do like hip hop. So you might not be into Ghostface Killa or Black Thought, or you might only like rappity rap. You might not like Future or Mac Dre, or you might not like Icewear Vezo or Babyface Ray, you know? I mean, and that's perfectly fine. But for James, I feel like all of those artists lend something to the landscape. And while I work on finding my voice, it's, you know, I'm just going to keep trekking along. I do think that it's important personally to look within yourself. And I think about interviews that I've done on this podcast and friends that I've had in the artistic community. And as I'm reaching this point in my artistic practice and pursuit, a few artists come to mind, specifically James Martin and Vikan Masoyan. And these are two guys, I remember we did an episode and it had two of them. And watch, this is all going to tie in, you guys. So these guys are really great at tying their culture into their artwork. James Martin is just like, you know, a wizard at tapping into, like, you know, the Choctaw Antigua motifs, and just, you know, the history of code talkers and just all across the board. And, you know, Vikan Masoyan is a lot more, not as heavy-handed with his, you know, references to culture, but in some paintings it's just like apparent. So after that, you know, experience, I think about the Black History Month run that we did of different artists and them telling their stories and how culture plays a part in their work. And looking in the mirror, it was kind of hard for me to figure out how to do that. You know, I was like, how do I tie in my culture to my artwork, you know? And a lot of times, like, you know, as Black people, we have these complicated relationships, like, with ourselves, like, the self-hatred that goes on in our communities, the inferiority complexes, the racism that we experience, the, you know, all of the trials and tribulations that some people would say that we're making up in our head. But I mean, shoot, I don't know too many other artists who've had police pull guns on them in the last 5 years besides me. So shout out to Sixth Sense. So I think like a lot of times we're dealing with this stuff and we're attempting to like, you know, we're attempting to let this stuff manifest into this beautiful form of art. And now I'm just putting it on the canvas. You guys, you know, realizing that you can't spell painting without pain. So if this is, you know, the stuff that's coming across my desk, I might as well put it in art form. And I would kind of be dishonest if I didn't. And I mean, I gotta be real with myself, you know, because at the end of the day, we all have to look in the mirror. And sometimes like listening to people as far as like what you should paint or like what you shouldn't paint is just, it's a recipe for, you know, painting to satisfy others. And that's not why I'm here. So, and that's not why you should be there either. So if you're an artist, listen to the voice in your heart. Like, you know, women paint that stuff that, you know, that only you see. You know, if you're a artist from the LGBTQ community, paint the stuff that you see. If you're, you know, one of my brown, you know what I'm saying, Latino brothers, shouts to my Mexican niggas, paint that stuff that you see. Because no one else can paint life as it comes across your desk. And that's like the most authentic form of it. So moving forward, it seems like the art market's going down. I'm reading, you know, stuff isn't reselling like it used to. And I think that's really a shame, but that shouldn't stop us from making artwork. Because at the end of the day, if you're not willing to do it for free and go hard and make this stuff, then I don't know what to tell you. You probably not built like that. So yeah, man, I mean, do it day in and day out, and you know, don't do it for a check. I feel like that's kind of, we want to monetize these personal things that we make, but at the end of the day, if that's the goal, if you have to like monetize it, then figure out a way that's less labor intensive, and maybe you can flip and get some sort of residual income, be it prints or stickers, or some people are, you know, doing tote bags, or, you know, graphic design or logos, or you can moonlight as all sorts of creative, you know, occupations to kind of supplement your income. But I do think that it's really important that you not get fixated by the dollar, because you'll start making compromises that later on down the line you maybe didn't, you maybe kind of regret. So yeah, there's that. Let's get to the bullshit, right? All across the news, I cannot open up my phone without hearing, you know, J. Cole disses Kendrick Lamar, and, you know, 7-minute drill, and that track was whack. It was mid, you know what I'm saying? I was like, okay, this is what we doing. 2 days later, he apologizes, and, you know, I mean, that sometimes cats are, they realize they're opening up a can of worms. You know, I had a situation where, you know, somebody, you know, felt inclined to diss me, and, you know, I kind of just didn't respond. And then next thing you know, the people are apologizing and I still haven't responded. And I just feel like it's, yeah, you gotta hold that. You know what I'm saying? You gotta look in the mirror and be corny. But also, if I drop a diss record, you gotta, you know what I'm saying? You got that coming. So it's one thing to pick a fight, but also once you do something, you can't, when you disrespect somebody, you can't determine the way in which they strike back. So that's not, it's like, that's not how life works. Like, if I spit in your face, you're liable to do whatever. If I insult you, you could handle it however you want, and I can't dictate how another human responds to disrespect. So yeah, that's the moral of that story. But Kendrick Lamar up 1, Wonder Twins down 0. So we're looking for Drake to make a comeback, and I'm here for the rap beat. It's rappity rappers, nobody's getting hurt. So yeah. This is not like the Freddie Gibbs, Jim Jones situation. Diddy's all over the news. Yeah, man. Just you. And the thing is you guys, you made your bed, you got to sleep in it. When you do foul stuff, it comes out. So I always feel like reputations are hard to build and they're easy to destroy. Yeah, and it's all kinds of crazy stuff. Former podcast guest was also in the news. one of our... And I'm sorry, I'm not... This is kind of wild. And you know, I actually kind of saw this coming. But I have to report on this. And this was a few months back. Rachel Dolezal was in the news. Shout outs to her for coming on the podcast. Apparently, she had OnlyFans and got fired from her job teaching. And this is all in the news, you guys. And here's the thing. Ladies, if you're going to be around kids, it's probably not smart to have an OnlyFans page. And I think that it's really, this is James being serious. Like, you're around children, and that's not to say that having an OnlyFans makes you a bad person, but it's setting the example. So it's realistically, it's like having a teacher who sells drugs on the side or does any sort of trapping on the side, you know. It's providing an example. So I mean, like, if you're doing that and then these kids, you know, who are little girls, are like in whatever grade they are, and they grow up to follow in your footsteps, is that okay? Like, is that what we're wanting to do? And you know me, I'm all for ladies getting the bag and all of that too, but I also feel like we should compartmentalize our trapping when it comes to the kids. And I think that if you're gonna be, you know, doing dirt, and it comes back to, you know, bite you in the ass, then it's kind of like, well, that's what comes with it. So yeah, hopefully everything goes well. Hopefully she can recover. Rachel, if you're listening, hit me up. We need to do a follow-up interview because I have questions.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Oh, God. Okay, so what else is happening? The Cybertruck dropped. Niggas already got him on 23s. I'm like, dude, it actually, guys, the Tesla Cybertruck, they put it on 23-inch rims already. And I'm here for it. You know, this is America. So, you know, it's the land of capitalism. We do what we do as long as we got money. You know, you can do whatever. So, right? That's the whole thing. So, yeah, I'm here for it. You know what's interesting is I was on YouTube the other day, and they have this Law and Crime YouTube channel. And so I was trying to, I saw it was like the Young Thug case pops up. It's a RICO act against, you know, rapper, singer, musician, Young Thug, for those who don't know. And I was kind of curious. I was like, okay, I'm painting. Let me turn this thing on. And you had to subscribe to watch the trial. So I don't know. I mean, like, is that okay? We're monetizing even more the justice system. I mean, I don't know if you guys know, but Bob Barker, shout outs to Bob Barker, rest in peace, from The Price is Right. He actually owned the company that made the toothbrushes and the shoes that they were selling in jail. So Bob Barker, yeah, The Price is Right. He was getting rich off the criminal justice system. You can, all this stuff I'm saying on this episode, you guys, I'm not outing anybody. This is all public information. You can Google it. It's in the news. It's coming across my desk, and I'm here to report.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
For y'all fighting the good fight. So, yeah, I mean, like, so I do think that it's one of those things where we can't really do anything at our level to combat things like this. You know, the prison, the school to prison pipeline, it's a modern day slavery. And just, yeah, I mean, it's really messed up. We have people who are still in jail for marijuana charges, even though marijuana is legal in all of these states. Fools are growing, you know, and now it's getting to the point where it's big business. And I feel like a lot of these, you know, lobbyists on Capitol Hill were kind of telling people, hey, man, just hold off on passing that until, you know, we don't want marijuana to be legal until we're in a position to actually reap the benefits. These taxes, they're not enough, guys. So once we're in the position to have big money backing, you know, big crops, then we'll go ahead and, you know, regulate it, tax it even more. But that's because we're, you know, we've pushed out, you know, Pookie, Ray Ray, and Hector, you know, your local providers of the piff.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
Shout out to my Mexican homies with ponytails who always got that fire.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.
That's what's up. Okay. So what else do we got in the news, you guys? I'm trying to get, you know, some real, like, current events out here for you. But yeah, I think that's about it. Let's see. So let's get back more into art. So oh yeah, we're sold. I guess we're shooting a documentary on black artists in Fresno. So that's kind of trekking along. I'm not sure when it's gonna be finished. I'm not sure how long it's gonna be. Pause. No Diddy. Okay. Yeah, but I do know that I'm going to be in it, and it's happening. So as soon as I have more information, because my hands are kind of tied in this deal, we'll talk more about that on Patreon. Yeah, so working on some commissions. I'm doing a collaborative project with Fulton Street Coffee that should be done within the next day or two. We'll be dropping a video on that. I've been attempting you guys to really go out and support local galleries and art shows. So let's talk about that for a second. Now I'm going to tell you guys, you don't have to do anything you don't want to do, but a great way to open up doors for yourself in the art community is to go out to different art shows, right? And talk to the artist, talk to the gallerist. And if you go enough, you'll start being a familiar face. If you have enough conversations without trying to push yourself on these people, they might, you know, open up a door for you. And I think that's something that people really need to think about. I've had a few different instances where I'll go to art shows and I'll see artists sitting outside or across the street, like pouting, throwing tantrums about not being invited to a specific show or a specific gallery, instead of going in and supporting their friends or mentors in their success. And really, I mean, like that's really the, that's one of the, what you call that? One of the criteria, one of the qualifications, one of the, you know, things a hater does. Like if you sitting out there like Rico in Belly with the banana, I don't like that shit. I don't like, that's some hater stuff. And doors don't really open up for haters. So, or I mean, they do, I guess, because life's not fair. So if you're a hater, but not as many doors might open up. You know, instead of, I mean, you can see your friends kicking down walls and getting shows, and instead of asking them, hey, how can I be a part of this art show that you're in, you know, meeting the people who are the decision makers helps. And then eventually one day you get a call. I know personally, I haven't curated too many shows, but the things that I kind of look for when I'm curating an art show are, number one, people who make work that I like, and two, people who are easy to deal with, you know? Some great painters are just prima donnas, and, you know, they're super stuck up. They feel like, you know, they're the only good painter in the area code, or, you know, like they're just God's gift to whatever city they're in. And sometimes those guys might not get invites anymore, you know? I mean, it's like, or those women, because they're not easy to deal with. You know, I mean, you might invite someone to a show and they take 8 years and they want to submit artwork at the last second. Like, you don't have to figure out how things are going to be composed, because as a curator, you need time to figure out how you're going to hang the work. So it's like, who's really easy to deal with and who's, you know, a great painter. And moving forward, I think that, you know, I want to open up some doors for some new artists, but the things will still be in place. Like, if you're easy to deal with, you get an invite. If you're a diva, if you're, you know, you got your head up your butt, you know, and you feel like you're just God's gift to artwork, you might get one shot, and then we'll keep moving, because, yeah, there's a lot of great painters out there. So stop filling yourself. Yeah. It's a lonely road, you guys. You mess up and then you looking around and all your friends is just moving around. And you know, you wondering like, oh, why'd everybody, you know, keep moving forward? And it's like, bro, nobody likes the person who has to be the best in the room, or nobody likes the guy who is a know-it-all, or, you know, like, curates shows and won't invite the hard workers. They'll only invite people who may be here today or gone tomorrow, because I've experienced that too. You know, I mean, like, there is gatekeeping in the art community, you know? I mean, yeah. So we're gonna talk about that a little bit later. I might do Patreon on, like, gatekeeping 101. You know, I do feel like there's, like, multiple forms of gatekeeping. You know, and sometimes we just gotta get around it. And it's just like with this podcast, you know, there's interviews that I've tried to get some people. I'm asking them like 2-3 years to do the episode, you know, and some people I really want on the show. So it's like, okay, you're my colleague, and I feel like this would be great for the platform. It would be great for your career, and timing might not be right. But then there are also people who are just, they have their head in the clouds, and it's like, hey, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to be on the show. And you guys might experience this when you invite someone to take part in something and things don't work out, but then they attempt to give you a, how can you say this? They attempt to supply some sort of, you know, filler that doesn't even go with the direction that you're attempting to go. So it might be, you know, might be a situation like, hey, I want to interview such and such. And then such and such is like, well, you know, no, now's not a good time for me, but you need to interview such and such. And it's, and I think one of those, when those things happen, you guys, what you got to realize is we're in this art game, or whatever game you're in, you're attempting to gain credibility, right? So a lot of times you have to ask yourself, credibility in the eyes of who? Sometimes we want to help, we want to form alliances, but it's not really in our best interest when you really sit back and look at it, because if people don't want to dance with you, fuck them, just move on to the next person, man. We don't got time for that. I'm saying, ain't nobody chasing nobody for no interview. So, yeah, needless to say, such and such, so and so will not be getting a call back, and we'll be moving forward. Yeah, so.
You saw me just get out of the whip.
All right, yeah, okay, so there's that. Oh, okay. I feel like it's time to wrap it up. Yeah. Other than that, you guys, I think we've covered most of the stuff. I got through all the notes I had. Yeah, and we're, you know, I mean, like, we're painting a lot. James is, I took some time off, you guys, partly because I really wanted to focus on my art and moving forward, you know, and it's really, it's imperative for us as artists to kind of have an idea on where we want to go. So not only am I, you know, painting for my solo show and getting ready for that, we're actually starting the biggest painting that I've ever painted in my life. It's like 3 by 4 feet, I believe. And it's time, you guys. I think that it's really important that I do this. There's some opportunities coming up. You know, some one of the podcast guests has really really offered me a cold-blooded chance to you know, be able to kind of move around and, you know, get into some different digs. And we'll talk more about that probably toward the end of May. I think we'll really unveil what's happening. But yeah, I mean, it's cracking, you guys. Things are moving up. I'm happy I didn't give up. I feel blessed that you guys still support me. All of the people who never gave up on me and all of the people who continue to show up for me, the new people in my life. I want to tell you guys that I am eternally grateful. Yeah. So we appreciate you guys. And, you know what? I'll do that on Patreon. We'll talk about the new paintings, where I'm going with my art and all of that good stuff. We'll do that on Patreon tomorrow. So yeah, you could be anywhere on the internet, but you're here with us. We appreciate that. Catch us again next week. Same BS time, same BS channel. Once again, this is some shit I just thought of, y'all. Scientific fiction that's not admissible in no court of law. I'm out of here like Vladimir. I told you from the dough. I told you from the get-go. You don't gotta go home, but you gotta go.
Art and Bullshit Podcast.